And we're going to end this part of the program with a look at Haiti, 2 months after the earthquake. NPR's Katie Riddle has the story of three Haitians who are trying to rebuild their lives.
Dr. Patrick Judy is working from the open-air lobby of his clinic. There are more than a dozen patients lined up waiting for him. He's talking with a woman who's holding her son in her lap. She tells the doctor he has a fever and a headache. And then she says something that Dr. Judy has been hearing a lot lately from his patients. She's afraid of the concrete. Many of Dr. Judy's patients won't set foot in a building for fear of another earthquake. This woman, Claudius Voltaire, says this is the first time she's been in one since. Only her son's illness was enough to bring her in today. In fact, many of Dr. Judy's patients actually refuse to come inside to the still functional examination room. That's why Dr. Judy is working out of the lobby. The nurse calls patients in from the line, one by one.
Monsieur, Anilus.
Dr. Judy says he understands their fear. It's one of the reasons he's not performing the kinds of surgery he did before the earthquake.
I am also afraid. I'm a general surgeon, but I do not see myself opening the belly of a patient in an operating room that could be a threat to both of us.
His clinic wasn't destroyed, but he fears it could collapse. He's hoping to build a new clinic designed to withstand earthquakes in a dirt lot around the corner. So far, his biggest source of help has been a class of middle school students in Elmira, New York. They gave him over $2,000 after they donated their spare change and held a bake sale. I ask him if he's hopeful.
Well, I have faith. And we will do all we can.
Across town, I meet a journalist named Lionel Edouard. Edouard is part of an unofficial government in this camp. It's near his former home, on the grounds of a monastery. The brothers here have allowed the residents to stay.
I just want to help people to stand up after the earthquake. I got some victims in my family, so I know I have to do something.
Now, he spends his days essentially governing a small town of 5,000 people. On this day, he is standing behind a roped-off area overseeing food distribution. Edouard is one of 30 people on the camp committee of self-appointed leaders. Aside from organizing food and water, they also oversee security.
We have people sleeping in their cars, keeping guard all night. If we caught someone trying to come over the walls, trying to come into the camp, we would arrest them.
Edouard still works as a journalist, but he says now he also has a much more important job.
You feel that you exist when you help people. Everyone has a mission in the world. Maybe it's our mission, and we'll do it, just like this.
Several hundred yards away, a small marketplace has sprung up. Claude Clerget is one of several vendors who have set up shop. He sits in front of a computer in the open air with a modem behind him. The whole operation is hooked up to a generator. For a few Haitian dollars, people pay to use the computer for 30 minutes. They write email, check their Facebook accounts. Many say they are talking with relatives in the States. Leger says running an internet stand isn't his first choice as a profession.
Before the earthquake, I worked as a plumber. Now I do this business to try to support my wife and child. But I don't make nearly as much money as I used to.
Even so, Leger seems to have steady business. For many people in this city, life has taken on somewhat of a rhythm, but it's tenuous. The rainy season should arrive any day. Flooding could make camps dangerous or unlivable. People say they are just waiting for the government to do something, for new schools, for the children. In the meantime, as journalist Lionel Edouard put it, every day they wake up and do what they have to do. Katie Riddle, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.